Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, a healing scripture CD, books, and more. We hope you are all having a very blessed Hanukkah. If you are like me at all, you've gone through various stages of withdrawal and grieving for Christmas over the past many years now. Grieving for the memories and the traditions, but then also, especially at first, the anger and repulsion of finding out the truth behind many of the traditions and origins of Christmas. But now, at least for me, that is all behind, along with giving and receiving presents for 8 days and other replacements to help during the withdrawal period. However, after that years-long process, what's left? We've read the Maccabees and remember that if they hadn't conquered Greece and rededicated the physical temple, there likely would not have been an operating temple for Yeshua to preach in and teach at, nor one for Rome to tear down after Yeshua was rejected and crucified. Then, of course, Hanukkah has its own, likely less than scriptural traditions, such as the legend of the oil lasting for 8 days, which we don't know if it is true or not, or just a made-up nice story. And it is known as the Festival of Lights. This being the darkest time of the year, they lit a very bright menorah that lit up the long dark nights during Hanukkah. However, I'm not even sure where the 8-branched menorah came from. And many pagan cultures have festivals of light during the darkest season of the year, understandably. I haven't found any pagan origins for the 8-branched menorah, but also no real biblical ones for an 8-branched menorah. I've heard that it's because of the 8 days of oil, or because of the fact that it is forbidden in Jewish law to have a 7-branched menorah anywhere except the temple, which makes sense for us in the diaspora to have an 8-branched menorah if you can't have a 7-branched one outside of the temple. But how can we know for sure what the origin of the 8-branched menorah is? At least we haven't heard a definitive yes, that's the reason answer. We do know from the New Testament that Yeshua was at the temple during the Feast of Dedication, which is Hanukkah, and according to the Book of Maccabees, the rededication of the second temple, that first Hanukkah, was 8 days long, like a late Sukkot. And King Solomon finished and dedicated the first temple in the month of Sukkot, in the 7th month. Then we aren't told in scripture how long the first dedication of the second temple was, so it is possible that this dedication of the second temple may have been 8 days long as well. We just don't know for sure. Interestingly, the dedication of the first temple by King Solomon lasted 2 sets of 7 days, or 14 days total, and then the king sent the people home on the 8th day, or the day after the 2nd 7th day. And actually, the first 7 days would have been the 7 days of dedication, and then the 2nd 7 days was actually Sukkot, and then the 8th day, of course, was the 8th great day after Sukkot. Biblically, the number 8 stands for eternity, or a new beginning, so the 8-branched menorah does make sense with regard to rededication and making the temple renewed. But we are in the diaspora and there is no temple now, so what are we to do? How can Hanukkah be significant to us and our families? What should we do during Hanukkah in honor of our King and Savior? Well, I think for one, those of us who have rejected the paganism and assimilation of Christmas have already, even if unknowingly, at least at first, honored the true spirit or purpose of Hanukkah. Hanukkah being a Hebrew word that actually means dedication, we have cleansed our houses of Christmas paraphernalia and maybe even cut Santa out of our family photos, and we have dedicated this time of year to honoring our King and to ridding our lives of assimilation and pagan traditions. This, to me, is the true spirit and purpose of Hanukkah, and we are doing this. We have chosen to be set apart and unassimilate, which is why this time of the year can be just a bit lonely, perhaps, for many of us. Unless you have a large congregation nearby of like-minded people to celebrate with, this time of year could be difficult to enjoy without any fellowship, making it possibly very tempting to assimilate back into the pagan Christmas spirit, quote-unquote. in order to feel a part of the community that we live in. So, we need to strengthen one another and make sure to invite others to fellowship with us if they are at all interested in coming out of the pagan roots of this time of year and rededicating their lives to be set apart and unassimilated. We also should, and I say this from personal experience, we should or need to be careful not to become Christmas Nazis. At first, I couldn't bring myself to say Merry Christmas and would always have to say Happy Hanukkah in reply to a kind and joyous greeting received from someone in all sincerity. Then sadly, I would feel that perhaps this person that I didn't even have time to explain things to properly might think that I had rejected the birth of our only Savior. Even if they have his name, his birthday, and some of what he taught wrong, I would never want anyone to think I was rejecting the birth of our Savior, the only begotten Son of our Father and Creator. After all, many people do still honor it as his birth, even if it wasn't. I think it is good to honor and acknowledge Yeshua any chance that we get. So replacing Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays certainly does not honor Yeshua, in my opinion. Likewise, I don't see how Happy Hanukkah does either, unless we have time to explain everything to the person. Most people have no idea what Hanukkah is all about, other than it is a Jewish holiday, and the Jewish religion rejects Yeshua. They reject Yeshua completely, not just Christmas. So more recently, most of the time, I have just been more comfortable saying, "Thank you, you as well." Yet still, something is just not quite right about it. Then, when asked if I'm ready for Christmas, I've been simply saying, "as ready as I'll ever be," or something similar. While I was saying Happy Holidays for a very brief time, I never felt comfortable with that at all. That, to me, appears to reject everything except the paganism, secularism, and materialism of this time of year. I think I'd rather wish someone a Merry Christmas. But is there possibly something better that we can quickly say to make people start thinking? That is the question we are tackling this year. We have cleansed and rededicated our lives to truth and to His Word by rejecting the assimilation that is Christmas pagan traditions. We are no longer angry at being lied to about, well, almost everything. We are trying not to make Hanukkah just another form of a winter solstice holiday. So what can we do to make it special and honor our King while not appearing to reject His birth and, by extension, His existence? Well, for us, we do light the menorah every night for 8 nights, and we say a quick blessing and thank our Heavenly Father for just whatever's on our heart for that night. And we do have a few very simple decorations up, and we make latkes and donuts and play games. And we do try to get together and fellowship with other like-minded believers. But what about the greeting when we're greeted with Merry Christmas? I was asking myself and our Father this question as I'm typing this message up, and even at this point, I don't have the answer. So here is where I paused and prayed. Okay, now I'm back. Pretend that was a pause for prayer, because it really was. I left and went and did a few things and prayed. I wanted something simple but impactful, and I think that I have it now. I think I received the answer. Thank you, Abba. So, I plan to try this from now on through the end of the year. Christmas is almost here and over, so I may not have time to try it out to the Merry Christmases very much, but I will use it in answer to Happy New Year as well. Okay, so what is it? Well, how about when someone says Merry Christmas, my reply will now be, "Thank you, may our Savior be glorified." And to Happy New Year, "Thank you, may our Savior bless you the coming year as well." Short, sweet, simple, and to the point. Thank you, may our Savior be glorified. Thank you, may our Savior bless you in the coming year as well. This, in my opinion, would bring much more glory to our Savior and King than Happy Hanukkah and especially Happy Holidays. Please, if this makes sense to you, feel free to plagiarize it. I believe this greeting will serve two purposes. First and foremost, we'll bring glory to our Savior. And second, it's always good to speak blessings over another person. May each and every one of us bring glory to His name in this season and throughout the coming year. May you all be blessed by our King and Creator. Next, I'm going to play a beautiful song that my mother sent me from YouTube by Marty Goetz. Then I will finish out the program reading some scriptures about dedication, with the word Hanukkah in these verses translated as dedication. Some very relevant scriptures that we certainly can glean from in our day. But first, Marty Goetz singing Hanukkah.
Temple, Lord, at this season start to pull down every idol I have raised up in my heart. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself to you. Take my defiled altar, come and cleanse and come repair. So every time I falter, I can run to meet you there. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself to you. And with every candle on the menorah that illuminates the night comes a prayer you'd kindle in me, Yeshua, a desire for your fire, for your light. Make of my mortal body a worthy of your name. Rid me of what's ungodly and every hidden thing of shame. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself to you. And with every candle on the menorah that illuminates the night comes my prayer that you'd kindle in me, Messiah, a desire for your fire, for your light. Take my supply of oil, not enough to burn long, I fear. But oh, how I pray I may one day say a great miracle happened here. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself to you, my Yeshua. I dedicate myself to you.
Absolutely beautiful. Okay, here are a few scriptures that contain the word Hanukkah in the Hebrew, translated as dedication in the English. Psalms chapter 30, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol you, O Yahweh, for you have lifted me up, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Yahweh, my Elohim, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Yahweh, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to Yahweh, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Yahweh, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Yahweh, and to Yahweh I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Yahweh, and have mercy on me. Yahweh, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Yahweh, my Elohim, I will give thanks to you forever. Then we also see in Daniel chapter 3 that the enemy also has his feasts of dedication, his Hanukkahs. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and breadth of 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, and the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication, or the Hanukkah, of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, Our Elohim, in whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace up 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the son of Elohim." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High Elohim, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own Elohim. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other Elohim who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What an awesome story! The earthly king had a dedication, a Hanukkah, to his gods, to his God. He had an image that was set up, and we see that picture in the abomination of desolation, also spoken of in Daniel, and also spoken of by Yeshua, that will be coming in the end times again. What form this image will take, we aren't sure, but I think we'll know it when we see it. And even now, there are lots of idols that are being set up that we are being told to bow down to. And each and every one of them, we need to have the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need to dedicate ourselves to the one and only true Elohim and believe him alone, that he is able to deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to the gods of this world. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is like the story of the Maccabees, and this should also be our story in the days in which we live. O Abba, hear our prayer. May you help us to all have the faith, honor, conviction, and strength of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to stand for you, to believe in you, to honor you, and to glorify you alone. In Yeshua's name, and I sincerely mean this, may our Savior and King bless you in the coming year, and may he be glorified always in our lives. Shalom.